Okay, so I'm back on. I hope you can hear me now for those of you who couldn't. Thank you, Jen, for contacting Molly. Let me know if you can, because I would appreciate it. And for those of you who did not hear me before, we will have the recording of the beginning of the call, where I'm talking about the extraordinary code activated by Mars going direct again today. So the other thing I want to mention is you want to look in your actual astrology chart where the signs of Aries and Libra are. So which houses are those in, right? You want to check that. And finally, one more thing is that the first and second and seventh houses are affected by what's going on right now, because those are ruled. Aries rules naturally as the ruler of the first house. Taurus naturally rules the second house, and Libra is the natural ruler of the seventh house. So those are houses you'll want to pay attention to in the next, you know, few weeks and months, and just to see, you know, what's going on. What are there any messages in that house for me? What planets do I have, or what house cusp numbers do I have? What do I need to focus on when it comes to love and intimacy in my life? So you get a lot of messages right now in many ways, because the wonderful thing about astronomy is it spirals, and so you can go deeper and deeper with the combination of these two divination arts, making it very, very exciting. Okay, so now I have not heard back from Molly yet as to whether you can hear me, so I'm just going to continue now and let you know that if you want to ask me a question, please press star 6 now so you can get into the queue. I have several email questions and really good ones that I will be answering in a sec, so I'll get to that in a moment. So if you are one of those people who sent an email and want a follow-up during the call, just you might want to get in the queue as well, because I will be answering your question, and it may be good to have you on the line when I do that, okay? All right, so let me go to the first question, and it comes from a new member, Andrea. Welcome, Andrea. You write, I just got your prosperity power. It's amazing. I used to use Pythagorean to determine business name compatibility, and I started my business with the name Andrea's Numbers, which in the Pythagorean is 10-1, but in Chaldean adds up to 12, which is the victim number. So I started calculating other variations using the Chaldean system. Andrea's number adds up to 9. Andrea Numbers adds up to 15-6. Which name is better for me? Okay, let me just address, first of all, how you calculate, because I just want to reiterate that webinar 5 is the one that deals with how to calculate fortunate names. And in a few weeks or so, I will be actually releasing a brand new program that I'm letting all of you know about right now that will be completely focused on how to calculate current names. It'll go into even more detail, be very, very focused on how to use this across the board in all different ways in terms of, you know, the effects of names and how to use them, and a very in-depth step-by-step approach, because there are several steps involved, and it can get a little bit confusing at times. So, Andrea, for you, you said that in Chaldean, Andrea's number adds up to 9. It actually adds up to 45, 9, not 9. There is actually a difference. If it had added up, for example, to 54 or 63, then yes, you would say Andrea's number would add up to 9. But it did not, so 45 has a different meaning. And so that is, it's a fortunate number either way, so that's good news for you. I just wanted to make that clear in terms of the calculation. And then you have another number that you list, another name, excuse me, and that name is Andrea Numbers. I'm not sure why you would use that. It doesn't really make sense to me as a business name. But here's what I want to just let you know. The difference between Andrea's number and Andrea Numbers in terms of the letters in the name are, they're completely the same, correct? Andrea numbers, though, adds up to a different number, a different Chaldean number, right? And the reason is, and here, bear with me, all of you, Andrea adds up to 18.9, and numbers adds up to 9. So what we do here is we add 9 plus 9. We add the two single-digit root numbers, 9 plus 9, and we get 18. So the name Andrea numbers adds up to 18. Now, even though the other name you gave me, Andrea's number, has the exact same letters in it, it does not add up to 18. And that's because the name Andrea's is a 21-3. So Andrea's is 21-3, and number is 24-6. Okay, so bear with me here. When you have 21 and 24 as the two numbers, and you reduce them to single digits, 21 is a 3, 24 is a 6. If you add 3 plus 6, you get that 9. But we are not supposed to use a single digit as our arrival number, right? That should never be our first arrival. Our first arrival is always a two-digit number, always, always. So anything above, from 10 and above needs to be the first number that we arrive at. So we cannot use that number 9. So what we do is we go back, we see 21 and 24, we add those two up, and we get 45. So Andrea's number adds up to 45.9, which is highly fortunate. Andrea numbers, even though it's the exact same letters, adds up to 18, which is not considered fortunate. Okay, so a big difference there. And certainly I'm happy about that for you because Andrea's number makes a lot more sense from a business perspective. So that's a good deal there for you. So that's the one I would use. In terms of how it resonates with your three important birth numbers, you asked me that. You know, when it comes to your numbers, you don't have a 4 or an 8, so you are not in that special category. So for you, really, any fortunate name number will work, okay? It's not a matter of correlating the name number, the current name number, with your three birth numbers. So that makes it a lot easier. You can use, doesn't matter what fortunate name it is, you can use it, okay? So Andrea's number is perfectly fine for you, and 45 is a wonderful, wonderful name number. I know that was a lot of information, Andrea, and I hope it didn't, you know, it wasn't too much and too overwhelming. But, you know, when you go back and watch that webinar 5, I think you'll understand what I just did during the call. And you can just re-listen to the recording later and take it step by step again. Okay, but thanks for your question. And so now we're going to go to Mano in Canada. And you asked, you said, thanks for all your support. Thank you for your thought-provoking answer to my last question regarding name changes that are all equally great. After much thought, I will take on my future husband's name, resulting in the 17 frequency. He's absolutely delighted about the name change. I'm so happy for you. That is such a great number, first of all, and I'm happy your husband's happy because that's important, as we know. So that's great. I'm really, really glad about that. So you have a question, and it's a very good one. You said, when calculating the frequency of a website name, I used to ignore the .com extension. However, ICANN, Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, the body that regulates and establishes naming standards for the Internet, will be offering more than the generic .net, .com, and .info strings. With the introduction of over 250 top-level domain names in the next year, like .guru, .photography, and .today, should we now include the ending strings as part of our calculation for determining if website names are favorable? Yes, what a great question that is, and I'm really happy you shared this on the call. You know, for all of you who run businesses, this is very important information. And so let me answer that now. When we talk about current names, there are sometimes certain standards that are used across the board that people are very aware of. For example, when you're a doctor, you use DR, right? If you're a sergeant in the Army, you use SGT. So those are standard formal additions to current names that people are familiar with. .com, .net, are two very standard forms. We've gotten used to them. They're part of the lingo. It's not like we have a gazillion of them, right? We just have those, and then we also have a standard for business, at least in the U.S., where we go Inc. or LLC, right? So those are very well known. Okay, so I don't ever include those in my name calculation. However, with the new over 250 domain additions, .guru, .photography, et cetera, that will be added in the next year, as you say, there we will move away from the standard, right? Because we will actually have a plethora of information here, and it will need to be honored. And so what I would do is I would, if it was me, this is what I always tell my clients and my students, I do what I would do for me. And for me, what I would do is I would calculate both versions, with and without the extension, right? So, for example, if you have a new website that's called, you know, astrologer or astronumerologist.guru, let's say, I would look at astronumerologist itself, just by itself, and then I would look at astronumerologist and guru together, right? And I would do that, this is important to understand, I would do that in two names because the guru is separate from the astronumerology, right? Or astronumerologist, excuse me. So in a website situation, and this is something I'm going to be teaching in the new name course because there's so much that we deal with in our, you know, world that we live in now, including website names, that is complex and sometimes a little difficult to understand. And so because current names are so important, they're generated by us. We are the creators of them. And so we literally birth a frequency when we birth a new name. We really must understand the effect that this name will have on our business and on our life. So it is a very important part of just being alive in this day and age where we have all this freedom to create, right? So I hope that answers your question. That's what I would do. I'd look at both versions, and they both must be fortunate for me to move forward. That's just what I would do for me, so I would expect to do that for my clients, and so that is my advice for you. Okay? So again, if you have a question and want to talk to me personally on the call, get in line now, press *6 on your phone so we can chat in person and get in line for that. And then I have a couple more questions here. Let me go to Elaine. Now, Elaine has a very good question. I want all of you to really pay attention here. This is applies to all of us, as really all the questions do. I just was particularly intrigued by hers today. So, now, Elaine, you said here, I've been exploring the concept of health and a person's physical constitution based on Oriental medicine and the astrology chart. For example, my acupuncturist said I have a water constitution. When I looked at my chart, I saw that my sun was in Leo in the eighth house. The eighth house is naturally ruled by Scorpio, which is a water sign. Also, two of my numbers are in the emotional triad, 3 and 6, which is part of the water element. I wonder if the energy of the house where the sun is located influences a person's physical constitution more than the sun sign itself. Have you heard of any sort of connection between a person's chart and their physical constitution? This is really a great question, and it brings up a lot of categories, actually. So let's take this step by step. First of all, Elaine, I just want to tell you a little bit about your chart and explain to you that first of all, you're correct. The eighth house is naturally ruled by Scorpio. So it is a natural water sign, right? That is true. Your sun is in Leo, and so, of course, that is not a water sign. It's a fire sign. So you have in your constitution both water and fire. Now, which is stronger, you're asking me? Well, that depends. As usual, we got to look at each person individually. If you only had your sun in that eighth house in Leo, I would say the Leo part of the equation is more prominent for you than the Scorpio, okay? I would, but this is just looking at the sun. I would also look around your chart and look for, you know, where are your other planets, especially your personal planets. Personal planets, all of you should know, are Venus and Mercury and Mars, right? And also occasionally people consider Jupiter, but it's Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Sun are the personal planets. So depending on what sign those are in, that plays a role as well. Well, for you, Elaine, lo and behold, we not only have the sun in the eighth house, we have, for you, Uranus, Venus, Mercury, Sun, Jupiter, Mars, and Pluto, all in your eighth house. This is extremely rare, first of all, to have seven planets in one house, and to have so many of them be personal and to have them include the sun, right? The sun in Leo means, of course, that the ruler of Leo is your sun. Sun rules Leo. So all Leos have double sun influence, right? Because their sun is in that sign, but then the sun rules Leo as well. So they're double sun energy. So that doubles it as well. You've got both your sun sign and the ruler of your sun in the eighth house. And here's the other thing. You have as your rising sign Sagittarius, and the ruler of Sagittarius is Jupiter. Jupiter's in your eighth house. It's one of those seven planets, okay? And finally, we have as your midheaven, we have Libra for you. And Libra is ruled by Venus, and Venus is one of those seven planets in the eighth house. So I would say your acupuncturist totally is correct. You are very watery and you are very fiery. You're both, okay, because most of these planets are in Leo. Six of the seven are in Leo. So that gives you a lot of fire and a lot of water. And so you're going to have that polarity within you anyway. But let me add one more ingredient to this equation to show you why the water element is even more pronounced in this particular house for you. You have on the eighth house cusp the sign of Cancer. Okay? So even though your sun is in Leo in the eighth house, the actual house is for you personally, is ruled by Cancer because that's on your cusp going into the eighth house. So Cancer is a water sign. So that would make your house even more watery than it would be if we just looked at the fact that Scorpio naturally rules that house for everybody, right? So we have a lot more in the equation here than what you mentioned. And so this is where your understanding of the elements is very, very important, how they relate to you and, you know, how they would relate, for example, to your physical constitution. Your physical constitution would demand that in order for you to feel at ease and productive and creative and attract wealth, because this is the eighth house, you know, to be sexually happy, to not be afraid of transformation and change, that you live in an area that includes water, or that you take long baths, or that you spend time, you know, vacations near water, that you have watery scenes, that you have fountains around you, right? That will be very important for your well-being and your constitution. So absolutely, I would do, you know, I would look at that even more for you and look at how the water element, for example, drinking water, I mean, for you is obviously very, very important. So I think that will give you a lot more insight as to how to look at a chart, number one, and how to gauge which of the four elements are very active in terms of a health perspective. It's a wonderful part of astronumerology, and we haven't even touched on the numerology part, that figures as well. For example, for Elaine, she has the number 17 on that house cusp. 17 is 8. That gives her a very strong constitution. The number 8 is really the number of strength and overcoming obstacles, right? So it is a very favorable, strong number if you're looking at that kind of question, especially in a house that includes 7 of your planets. So we're talking about the 8th house. We're talking about the 17-8. You know, this is being triggered for Elaine. So again, the astronumerology investigation takes you even deeper than if you just did one or the other in this regard. And it's just really, really wonderful. So there's a lot more, of course, I could say. I could spiral forever on these topics. But I wanted to give you some real beginning, simple pointers as to how you would read the question that you asked me. Okay, that was really fascinating. So one more email question, then I'll go to your calls. This one is very interesting as well. Like I said, we have some really, really good questions this time around. So Michelle asked, what's your take on sidereal time, Ayurvedic astrology, also known as Vedic astrology, and the 13 astrological signs? I use the numbers the same, yes? Okay, first of all, yes, you use the numbers the same. And I just want to let you know that I am not a Vedic astrologer, so I can't actually tell you how to do this, but I've gotten Vedic astrology readings, a couple of readings, which were fantastic. And so I certainly feel that, you know, Vedic astrologers are incredibly important in looking at, you know, our lives from a different angle. And it uses sidereal time. And for all of you who don't know what that is, I suggest you research it if you want to really get into what it means. But it's basically you're looking at the sky the way it is now. It's not, so the astrology is not based on the sun signs, but it's based on what's above your head right now. Like if you look at the sky, you may actually notice, and this has always been interesting to look at, you may you know, see that it may say that Mars is in Libra for Western astrology, but Mars may actually be closer to Scorpio or be closer to Virgo in if you look up at the sky, right? So that's something that sidereal astrology deals with, and so Vedic astrology is based on that. And I, to answer your question, I absolutely feel very much that the 13 astrological signs were the natural ones that were initially, used. Ophiuchus is the sign that many of you may have heard of. That's considered the 13th sign between Sagittarius and Scorpio. It actually is a very interesting system if you look at the 13 sign systems, because it's not equal at all. Some of the signs last a lot longer than others. Again, it's based on how they're spread out in the sky. So this is a very different way of looking at the sky, and it's not one that Western astrologers use, but I definitely feel it is a worthwhile thing to investigate if you want to know more and get even deeper into how astrology and astronomy affect us. And yes, to answer your question, the numbers that you would come up with in your calculations would be just as important depending on which system you're using. Okay, so just one more thing about the 13 signs. I did write a newsletter about this a while back. I think it was a year and a half ago when there was a major article. Actually, it's like a firestorm online about the 13 signs. I don't know if you all remember that. And I wrote a newsletter about it. And because I have had experience looking at those signs myself, though I don't use them in my practice, I do feel that the number 13 is extremely important and a natural part of our actual human existence. When you look at the fact that each season has 13 weeks and the moon has 13 cycles in a calendar year, you can see how that number 13 really is a very natural part of nature. It's a double whammy there. But in any case, you see what I mean. So it is a fascinating subject, and one I encourage you to investigate yourself if you're interested. Thank you for that question, Michelle. If any of you whose questions I answered are on the call and you want more detail, just hop on right now, press star 6. And otherwise, I'll move on to, let's see who's here. We have, oh, Jen. Great. So Jen can hear me. Hi, Jen.
Hi. How are you, Tanya?
Hey. So you couldn't hear me the first 10 minutes?
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything. I was like, what's happening? It was just silence. But,
Well, I'm sorry about that. Thank you for getting in touch with Molly. She, you know, I usually don't look at my text, but I happened to glance over, and it was Molly, and I said, it must be an emergency. And she told me that you had let her know, so I appreciate that very much because I wouldn't have called in otherwise. Yes. So, but you know, thank God we have the recording, right? So.
Exactly. Yeah. That's always. I was figuring. Okay, if I can't actually get on live, I will be able to hear the recording.
So let me know your question today. And by the way, did you have a good birthday? Because I know we both celebrated since our last call.
Yes, it was really fun. I had a great birthday. Really interesting these last few weeks. How was yours?
It was good. And I really, you know, like I say, the 6 weeks before your birthday are so intense. And then your birthday comes around and it's like the doors open to these unexpected opportunities, you know, and changes. And for me, it definitely was like that. I felt a lot of pressure because you and I happened to have our six-week precursor to our birthday, right, during that intense April lineup. I mean, talk about craziness. You know, so, you know, I wasn't feeling crazy. I just was feeling very stimulated by that energy. And it was really, really strong. And so I'm happy to say it's lifted.
Yeah. I feel the same. I feel like I wrote in my newsletter, I feel like, the, you know, I was underwater for a whole bunch of time, and now finally I come back to myself. Oh, now this is what it feels like to be me.
Yeah. That's a wonderful way of putting it. Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So very interesting. Okay, so I have a bunch of questions. So let me ask you a couple of them. So one of the questions that I have here is, when you're looking at the business name, for instance, like how would you consider the date of birth of the business name or the business? Like me, I changed my name. I got a new name. So I decided on the name a few weeks ago. I don't remember the exact date. Say it was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then I went and I bought the website name, right? And then a week later, I came back and I went to look at my name and realized that I had actually bought the wrong name. So I went back to buy the new name, and then I was, because, you know, I was like, okay, let me see what time and everything I started my new name, right? So would that be the date I started my business last year, or would it be the date I claimed the name?
You know, okay, here's the thing. You're asking, it's a two-part answer, because the day that you buy your, that you incorporate, is that what you're talking about, the incorporation day?
Yeah, I didn't actually incorporate, but I just decided, okay, this is, I'm changing my business, this, I'm doing a new direction, right? But I didn't have a name.
So when you say last year, what was it that you were referring to?
Well, when I decided that I was going to do just the, you know, Akashic and the astronumerology, and I stopped doing the other stuff.
Okay, so you made a decision on it that day.
Yeah.
But you didn't legally change anything.
Yeah.
You didn't go through the process.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that is actually an important day. That is your birthday for your business. The idea for it is definitely important. It's when you actually go through the process of making it official and legal that you're actually, you're setting something in place. However, let me say as well, a lot of my clients do take on new fortunate names because they had challenging names, right, when I give them readings. They don't necessarily legalize their new names because some of them don't need to. They can change the credit cards, bank statements without going through that process. It still is an important moment, though, even though they didn't go through the process. So if that is your situation where you actually don't have to go through the legalization, you know, for whatever reason, but you still chose a name and made that commitment to, you know, your new business, then, yes, that day is important. It would be considered the birth of your new business. You see what I mean? So it just depends.
Yeah.
Well, for most people, when they do it, they actually literally go in and create, you know, they incorporate. On the other hand, there are a lot of people whose incorporated name has nothing to do with their business name, meaning their website, their brand. So it just it depends on who it is and what situation we're in. Now the second part of your question was that you did something recently and bought a website name, right? Okay, so it's really the day that you purchased the correct name, obviously, that would matter, not the incorrect, not the one that in the end was not correct.
Yeah, that's good to know. That was, like, interesting. It was really weird. I went back, and I'm like, oh, wait, I bought the wrong name. Like, how did that happen? And then...
Yeah, that is really interesting. I find that...
Yeah.
But did you actually look at what the number of that name was that you bought the wrong
name? I don't know that I did. Actually, I don't know. I'll have to go back. I don't think it was a fortunate name anyway. It was really close because I decided to do, and this is another part of my question, was the Akashic 7 is the name I chose, right? And so the name I had actually bought was Akasha 7, and I don't think that was a fortunate name because Akashic 7, I test, you know, I checked it, and that's a fortunate name.
You're spelling and 7?
Yeah, no, doing the letter 7. And that's the other part of the question. So when I'm doing the actual numeral 7, I'm not spelling it. It's Akasha numeral 7. So what I did is I just did, you know, added 7 to Akashic 7, right?
Yeah, because you just said Akasha 7. So you're
saying Akashic 7.
Okay.
I said it again. Yeah, Akashic.
Well, first of all, Akashic, A-K-A-S-H-I-C, is that correct? Akashic?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's a 16 in the Chaldean.
Yes.
So, and I think I've explained this before, and again, my new name course will make this incredibly clear. When you add a number to a actual written name, you must be sure that both versions work, both versions are fortunate, because the number itself is not a letter, so it doesn't translate literally to a number, right? However, it is a number, so you must be sure that the 7, the Akashic 7, and then the Akashic by on its own, without that 7, are both fortunate. Again, this is how I would do it for my business, so I recommend it for
okay,
for you as
I see
well.
What you're saying. So the 16 is not a, it's not considered a fortunate number.
No, no, it's definitely not. So I myself would add something else. And Akasha is a 13, just so you know, so I wouldn't use that. So can you, well, you'll have to look at this now that you know how it works.
Yeah.
Can you add a name to Akashic, right, something, or change whether you have a, I mean, you can have the number there. The only thing is it just makes it a little more complex because you're now calculating for two different versions, the number with the number and without, to make sure.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I didn't understand when you said do it with calculate both. I didn't realize what you were saying with both means the actual name by itself without the number.
Yeah, so when I taught this in Webinar 5, I wasn't teaching it for a business course. So I was just teaching it for personal names. And so that's the information you have. And this is why I'm going to create a completely new course that incorporates every way to do names, because it gets even more complicated with other situations. So, but I'm letting you know, you're in Numerology Academy. This has come up many times. All of you, or a lot of you, are practitioners. You have businesses, and you want to know how this works. So I'm just letting you know this is how it works. Yeah.
No, that's good. It's good to know. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do something about that. So I could actually change the spelling, maybe, of the Akashic.
You can add a word, too. You may, you know, I mean, this is something I do with my VIP members. I brand them, but you can have something a little bit more exciting or magnetic than just Akashic, right? Something else to add to the word. So when you add a number like that, it's not quite as translatable and memorable. It depends, though. I mean, the number 7 is extremely, you know, potent and wonderful, and, you know, Akashic 7 may be something people remember, but it may not. You know, you may want to use, for example, a different word even, because just so you know, a lot of people don't even know what Akashic is. They've never heard of it. It's one of those, people are waking up to it now, but if you want to attract people who, you know, once they learn about it, are absolutely fascinated and want to learn more, but have never heard about it, you may not want to use that term. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I will look at that. Okay, thank you. So now I have one more question, and that's about when you're doing like the, if somebody wants the kind of blueprint about their year that's coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that case, do you just highlight certain dates of every month, or how do you do that in terms of these are your fortunate days?
Yeah, well, for the blueprint that I do for clients, I give a description of the personal month for them specifically that they'll be in. Just describe that for them, and then at the end of each month, I list the fortunate days, and those are the days that are that trigger their 3 important birth numbers. So those are more magnetic and you know, days where you feel very in tune or not. I mean, you can get more confronted too on those days because opportunities can come as challenges sometimes, you know. So, you know, but in the end, what it is, it's your time to step up, you know, and to really feel connected. So if you're planning an event, I like having those included. So I don't just do those, but I also describe the month for people.
That's good. Yeah, okay, that's helpful, because I was like, okay, how do you do this? I'll go to every single day and explain what every day is. But,
No. That would be way too much. I mean, that would be a much deeper report, I would say, for the next 3 months, if you want to do something like that. You know,
okay.
I would do a whole year where you go through every day. That would be more in-depth, and you would charge more for something that in-depth.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, totally. That would be like a life's work or something.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to do something like that.
Yeah.
And you could offer it. I mean, it would be a special offer that you could offer on your website. You know, if somebody really needs to know and wants to know the specific meaning of particular days, you can certainly start creating a template that you could use. You know, you describe certain numbers, and then you just... Mm. The thing you're dealing with templates that makes it more difficult, though, is that if you're tying in to all 3 numbers, it's important to mention that, at least I feel it is. So, for example, let me give you an example. If a client's personal month is a 3, for example, 21-3 or something, let's say they were born on the 12th, then already there you know one of their 3 important birth numbers is activated in that 3 personal months, right? Mm. And then let's say one of the personal days you're looking at that's activated is a 7 personal day, and it's important because they have a 7 destiny number. Then what you mention is you've got to mention both the 3 and the 7, because now they have 2 numbers activated on that day, the month number and the personal day number, right? Personal month, personal day. Activate 2 of their 3 important birth numbers. And so that's how it sometimes would get complicated for templates, because not everybody would have that combination. In fact, very few people would. So then you're dealing with thousands and thousands of combinations.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You see what I mean? So
totally.
Because you're talking about 3 numbers, 365 days, and, you know, only some of those are important, but then that sort of craziness. Then you're talking about a computer program that will take years to create at this point. So.
Yeah, I think I'll leave that for someone else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's great. And then I have, so I just wanted to check, this is what it says on the Chaldean thing, but if the number, like somebody's number came to 123, you just add the three together, right? 1, 2, and 3. That's what you do.
Is this a website name?
No, this is a client name.
Okay, because nobody, well, okay, so does this client just have just a lot of names?
Yeah, they had a whole ton of names.
And some of them added up to 22 and 11 and all of that? Because to have to add up to 123, you'd have to have a super, super long name, some of the individual names would have to add up to 22 or 11.
She's from South America or something, so she had like 5 or 6 names. I don't remember exactly what they added up to, but the total added up to 123, 123, and I'm like...
Okay. So let's say that you calculated correctly, and that is the final number. Then her name, because it's above the 52, from 53 onwards, you have single digits that you're referring to. Sometimes double digits, because 68 would be 14.5, right? You would look at 14 as well. Yeah. For the 123, yes, the 6 would be the name number. It's just plain 6. It's not 123. I mean, you can tell her it's 123.6, but then what you describe is the 6, because there is no description for 123 for current names, right? It goes up to, it's like the 52 weeks. It goes up to number 52. Mm. It's based on a very ancient number system. So,
No, that's good. That's good to know. I was just thinking, oh, well, that's what it says, so that's what I'm assuming it is, right? Mm-hmm. But you just add it up. It doesn't matter what it comes to.
I'm just telling you how it works. I can't vouch for that her name is actually 123. That's something that you would
That's fine. I understand that. So basically you're saying is at that point, and I don't remember what I did, if I reduced them all to the single, calculated each one and then reduced them all to a single and then added them up. So some of them, like you say, wouldn't reduce. So you just calculate them to the first number, and then, like if it came to 14, you would leave it at 14. Like if you added two numbers, the numbers, and came to 14, right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't reduce it to 6.
Well, no, 14 doesn't reduce to 6. Well,
I mean, what am
five.
I saying? 5.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. No problem. I get it. I get the question. Just wanted to make that clear, because I do that too. It's a lot of numbers sometimes, and our brains get fried here. But what you do is you would, if it is like a 68, you would look at 14 and 5. If it is a 69, you would look at 15 and 6 for them, right?
Mm.
For the I'm talking current names.
Mm. Mm.
So, but if it's 70 or 123, that's a single digit, right? It's not 70. 7 plus 0 is, there is no... Above 52, there are no double-digit descriptions. So you just go by the single digits unless it is a number like 69, that 6 plus 9 is 15. Well, then you would also look at the 15 in addition to the 6, right,
okay.
For this person.
Yeah. And then what if it's a birth name, for instance? If you get a birth name of 123, how do you add that up?
Birth name. Well, that's 123, 6.
It's the same.
And by the way, I just wanted to say, this will be in my name course, because I know I'm going to get questions about this. If the current name, going back to what I was saying, adds up to 69, and you're looking at the 15, the 15 is not considered, is not weighted like a 15 would for that special category for fortunate names, where you have 4 and 8 birthdays or life purpose numbers. So don't consider that particular 15 that comes from a 69 or a 78 or an 87, et cetera, current name to be have the significance as a normal straight 15 name would. It doesn't. So I just wanted to make that clear because I know that may come up for some people as they listen. It should. It should come up, you know. But for all of you who understand what I just said, yeah, you'll know why I just said that. So, so in terms of 123 destiny number, it's a 123, and you want to describe the 1, 2, and 3 because it is part of their actual full birth name. But the main focus will be on the 6, of course, right? So
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, again, it's, you know, we're on an amazing journey, and just the description itself, when a client reads it or when you read your own numbers, that takes you as far as you can go in that moment, right? But if you reread that even a month later or 6 months later, you will get new insights. And you as a numerologist, astroneurologist, will get even more insights because you can look at each individual number as well. You can look at your cycles. You can look at letters. You can look at current. I mean, it just ties into everything we do, and it's constantly evolving because of that, because our own cycles are evolving, and we recognize parts of our numbers by virtue of the growth we experience when we live in the actual numbers codes that we create for ourselves in our personal cycles, you know. So we live in a kind of hologram of personal numbers that gets activated, right?
Yeah.
Each of us has
totally.
A personal code that's really a holographic numerology code that gets activated every day, you know, changes.
Yeah.
And so that's what's so fascinating about, you know, this divination art. It's constantly evolving. Yeah.
I know, it's brilliant. I actually did a radio show with a friend of mine who's an astrologer, and I was doing the numerology on the full moon. And she was, and you know, it's so interesting how the numbers, I don't know much about astrology, but, you know, with the numbers, I can tie in tons of stuff and really, you know, like you say, spiral down. And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, we've talked a little bit about the numbers. She said, oh, I can see how the numbers are really powerful with astrology, you know, once you begin to see what the numbers tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how you can make so many connections that you can't see without having the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, people, that's wonderful that you had this show, and the more all of us, you know, spread the word, people just need to be made aware. And they immediately understand because it's a language like music that we're all very familiar with and we use every day without knowing it. And, you know, it really describes everything in life can be described with numbers. So, but we don't think of it that way because we haven't been taught it is like color is a language and numbers and music, they're all different forms of expression. Where numbers really is very scientific. And music and color are more, you know, artistic. You know, they're more about that feeling. Numbers are more, they take us, like I said, both left and right brain is activated when you do this, right? So you can actually literally, quote, unquote, prove things because there's only one answer every time, you know? There's never more than one answer. So just like in math, you know, 2 + 2 will always be 4, can never be 5. So, and that's what makes it, I think, very palatable to people who otherwise may not understand astrology, for example, which is also a method of interpretation many times, you know. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, right? With the numbers, interpreting, you're actually based on a science. So
Yes. Yes, and I'm not saying astrology isn't a science. I actually feel
absolutely.
It is.
That's why
I'm just saying for the layman, it may be, well, you can't, how do you know? You know, and then, but if you show them a number and you describe, well, look at the number 5, look at the number 1, what do you think 1 means? Why do you think we use that number when we want to be first and the best? And, you know, I mean, there's just, it's just an easy way to just get clear to people right away, just looking at their birthday, you know, simple terms.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I have one more question, and I totally agree. You know, astrology absolutely is a science. It's just, like, it's a different way of proving it. And that is, I was thinking about this. When you say the soul number, is this the number of your soul that runs, is always a constant, like every lifetime, or, you know?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I can't personally answer that question because how would I know, right? I don't know my name,
yeah,
my last life or my future life.
So
I wouldn't be able to answer. But what I feel it is it's just, it connects you the way you need to be connected to what it is that you brought in order to accomplish your purpose and destiny. So it's a message to you personally. It's a very private message as to where you resonate the highest in terms of your soul.
Mm.
And so I think that number can actually change from lifetime to lifetime, depending on what it is you're here to do and what your soul has chosen for that lifetime.
Mm.
Because we all have all the numbers in us. I mean, it's not just one, right? So, but sometimes we just have to focus in one area more than another, and so certain numbers will mean more for that reason, because they're being explored to greater depths at that moment, you know. So does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, that's brilliant.
I love these questions. They're great. They're so exciting. I mean, I learn something in every call. It's just so wonderful. You know, great.
Incredible. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great. So anything else? I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, we covered a lot. No, nothing else. Just my mind's just wondering about my name. It's like, okay, I have to go explore this now.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I think you'll be very interested in my new course that I'm releasing, because it's gonna look at the whole name question from very many different perspectives as well. So, I'll definitely let all of you know about it first in Numerology Academy. You'll be the first to hear about the course when it's finally released. I've been a little, you know, what's been holding me up, and I'll just let all of you know now, since it concerns Numerology Academy. I'm actually going to have a very big announcement about Numerology Academy and Future Forecast Formula very shortly, and I think you're really going to like it, but it's taking a little bit of my time to create the space that I'm creating for all of you. So that's why the name course has not been released yet, because it's next. So. But I'm really excited about what's being created, and it's going to be, you know, there's no cost to you. It's just going to be an upgrade for all of us, so it's going to be good. So,
wow, sounds fabulous.
Yeah,
exciting. I've got to send in. I'm excited. Yeah, I've got to send in my stuff that I keep saying I'm going to do, but I made up my mind this month I'm going to do it, because I want to get my whatever it is, my certification.
Ah, yes, awesome. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, have a great rest of your May and June, and we will speak, I believe it is the 16th of June, all of us, and thank you, Jen, sorry.
Talking
thank you,
about
Jen,
pain.
for your questions today. Yes.
Thank you, Tony.
You're
that
welcome.
Was fabulous. Yes, you enjoy the rest of your May until we speak again in June. Fabulous.
Thank
I'm excited
you. Yeah.
to hear your news.
Yeah. Well, good. And we're also, all of us, so, you know, with this, with all these shifts happening since April, this Mars shift today, really, you will feel it. It's going to give you more energy, and you'll feel like the momentum has shifted. I've had a lot of clients, you know, who have felt in the last couple of months things have slowed down. And I'm talking about business as well. So that's about to shift, because when Mars goes forward again, we have the drive is back, the speed has shifted, and we just feel more like action is being reciprocated faster, you know, when we act on something. So that's always a good thing. And of course, the Mars-Venus connection, that's so wonderful. And I really feel that the energy within us, the spiritual warrior energy, is merging with the wonderful divination, you know, the number 13 divine feminine energy in this particular instance. It's very, very potent, and it will probably take a long time for us to really completely adjust to, but it has happened. And so it'd be interesting to see how you feel that evolve in your own intimate relationships as well as you go on, your perspectives, how you relate in your relationships, what you actually feel about soulmates, and whether you should just have one. See, I have whole ideas about that as well, but that's changing as well for all of us. So we're loosening up, we're being more flexible, we're feeling the freedom. The 14-5 freedom is there in the mix. So it's very, very exciting. So having said that, I want to thank all of you for being here today. We are going to explore a lot in June. There's a lot to share with you then. And until then, have a wonderful Memorial Day if you're in the States. Have a wonderful spring and autumn if you're in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. Either way, I'm thrilled about you know, all the new members we have and the wonderful excitement surrounding astronumerology. All right, all of you, I will talk to you soon. Lots of love. Bye-bye.